KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, featuring stories of people of the valley, produced by media communications and journalism students at Fresno State, 90.7 KFSR.
Hello, I'm Walter Scott. Thank you for tuning in to Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
I'm Emma Ott. Today on Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, we'll meet the people behind the energetic Escuadrón de Fresno, and we'll find out where Fresno State students go to de-stress.
I'm Raul Ramirez. We begin with the story about drug addiction and the myths that surround it.
What we say and do matters to people with substance abuse disorder. In order to overcome the crisis of addiction, we must first dismantle the stigma tied to it. I sat down with two people whose lives are forever changed after losing a loved one to an accidental overdose.
Welcome to Breaking the Stigma on Drug Addiction. People often view drug addiction as a moral failing, but it's actually a medical condition that can be managed with proper treatment. I asked Fresno State student Noelani Patterson what the first thing that comes to mind is when she thinks about drug addiction.
When I think of addiction, I think of a sickness. And when people get addicted to drugs, they are sick and they need help and they don't need stigma. I'd say that's the first thing that comes to my mind when I think of addiction is I just think of that stigma behind it and how people just immediately look at these people as if they're not people. And they are people. They're sick.
Noelani's brother died last February from an accidental overdose of heroin-laced fentanyl. The stigma surrounding addiction can lead to great shame, even for the families of those individuals. Noelani says her family and brother suffered because of this.
In terms of, like, my family and stuff, my parents were immediately very closed off about the situation. We didn't have a funeral. I feel like there wasn't enough, like, recognition. And I feel like when I bring up my brother, it's not awkward in a sense, but it's like my parents don't want to talk about it. And that's because, you know, they were the parents with the kid who was addicted to drugs.
Families often feel isolated and ashamed. That can prevent them and their loved ones from seeking help. That's why my guest, Jim Horton, created the Zachary Horton Foundation, a nonprofit organization that aims to help families much like Noelani's and his own.
So the Zachary Horton Foundation began in 2020. My son passed away January 7th of 2020 from an accidental drug overdose. And very soon, Emma, after his passing, his mother and I decided that we wanted to create a foundation to help ensure that other parents didn't have to go through the kind of pain that we were experiencing.
The foundation offers multiple resources, including housing, support for families, and Narcan training. Why did Jim create this foundation after his son's death?
Well, I think that for us, our denial was so great that there was a problem and the stigma surrounding the mission of our foundation about breaking the stigma of addiction. Mm-hmm. That stigma was so strong that it brought so much shame to us. And I think that's, in general, I think in our society, it's something that we just don't talk about.
Jim's right. Even with all this impact, we still don't talk about it. We don't know how to talk about it. For some people, like Noelani, this fact can be incredibly frustrating.
It made me super angry that there was nothing out there, that I couldn't find anything. This was like, my brother died and no one was talking about it.
Jim is also an advocate for preventative measures, such as Narcan and fentanyl testing strips. He plans to distribute Narcan to students at Fresno State soon.
The goal with Narcan and fentanyl testing strips, it's a harm reduction measure that's becoming so important. We need to keep people alive. Here's the thing, if my 19-year-old son had this in the house where he was, then he wouldn't have had to have died that night.
Narcan is a potentially life-saving medication that can reverse the effects of an overdose in minutes. Just like Jim, Noelani is an advocate for Narcan awareness too.
I think Narcan is an amazing thing. If someone in that hostel would have had Narcan on them when my brother was overdosing on heroin, they could have saved his life. Mm-hmm. They could have 100% saved his life when he was overdosing on fentanyl-laced heroin.
In January, a new California law went into effect requiring all CSUs and community colleges to distribute Narcan at school health centers. The law requires schools to provide Narcan training during campus orientation. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says 46% of overdose deaths could have been prevented if a bystander had intervened.
You know, and I'm so glad that Narcan is being distributed in colleges and universities now for the public and for students, because as someone who's had firsthand experience with seeing what drugs can do, I think it's definitely an overall positive.
Here at Fresno State, we celebrate diversity and promote inclusion. Every student deserves to not only feel a sense of belonging, but also feel safe and comfortable. Our cross-cultural and gender center serves to advocate for this, as well as the overall elimination of racism, sexism, homophobia, and other forms of oppression. One way we can all contribute to inclusivity and safety on campus is to learn and gain more understanding about the marginalized communities within our student body. Sabrina Van Baber talked with Dr. Kat Faubert, Assistant Professor of Women's Studies, Human Rights Activist, and Coordinator of Fresno State's new LGBTQ.
Dr. Faubert said one of the main things we can do in order to help our fellow students in the LGBTQ community is uplift their voices and spread awareness. And that's why I wanted to come on here today to tell you about all of the resources Fresno State has to provide for the LGBTQ community, as well as other programs that we have that any students can participate in. Many LGBTQ resources can be found in the Cross Cultural and Gender Center here at Fresno State.
So there's the LGBTQ resources there. They have a great pride room, as well as activities like queer talks, and they host really important events such as Transgender Day of Remembrance every fall. So that's a really great resource. It's literally a physical space that students can go to just chill, find resources, and all of that. So that's a really key thing there.
According to the American Sociological Association, inclusive school environments can help to improve the mental health, education, and well-being of queer students. One thing we can all do to improve the inclusivity on our campus is simply be more educated about the LGBTQ community.
The newest sort of big resource here is our new LGBTQ2+ studies minor. So this is the first time that students have LGBTQ2 studies reflected in the curriculum, and it's open to everyone.
Students who are interested in declaring LGBTQ2+ studies as their minor can email Dr. Kat Faubert at katherinefaubert@gmail.com.
The Cross Cultural and Gender Center is located in the Thomas Building, room 110. All students are welcome. Celebrate diversity, and as always, remember, don't be a drag, just be a queen.
Yup, word to Lady Gaga.
My allergies are acting up, the spring is near, and with it comes the start of a new soccer season. Many of us are probably not aware, but soccer is a rapidly growing sport here in the U.S. I was fortunate enough to talk with members of El Escuadrón de Fresno, a local supporters group, about what it means to support a team from the Valley. What you just heard was the energy that Escuadrón de Fresno brings to the stands on any given weekend in the Valley.
We're the youngest supporter group of all the four existing local supporter groups.
That was Vicente Chavez, leader of El Escuadrón de Fresno soccer supporters group and co-founder alongside his cousin Salvador Rodarte.
And it's actually through soccer that we became as close as we are today. So if it wasn't for the beautiful game that is football, we wouldn't be as close as we are today.
Escuadrón was started in September 2019 and almost immediately was left without a team to support with the relocation of Fresno FC.
So we had about that solid month, then the season came to an end, and during the offseason we found out the team was leaving Fresno and, you know, transferring over to Monterey.
The lyrics say, "We were left without a team for 2 years and we didn't cry." Despite this, the spirit of the group never wavered. Escuadrón stayed active and began supporting Fresno State women's soccer regularly.
Fresno State women's program gave us someone and somewhere to support and continue this passion that we love when we had nowhere else. So just because now a team comes into town and we have a professional club, or we have Valley FC or Fuego FC come around, doesn't mean we're going to stop supporting them, you know?
No matter who Escuadrón is serenading with their tunes, the love and support means just as much to the players as it does the crew. Escuadrón podcast host Dario Lugo.
And I think they really enjoy it, you know? Like, it pushes them, it makes the atmosphere, like, seem unreal, you know? Like, makes you proud to play for your local soccer team.
It may seem odd to a lot of people to see a group have such passion for a team at a local level. It's key to understand that culturally, soccer means different things to people around the world. Escuadrón member Mario Vargas is from Valparaíso, Chile, and supports second division team Santiago Wanderers.
Yeah, so I'm Insha the Wanderer de Valparaíso. My whole family has been Insha the Wanderers, you know, my abuelos, my uncles, you know, everybody. And then you're kind of born into that culture and you're expected to be a Wanderers fan. You're expected to go to the games, you know, you're expected to paint your houses green and all those things. So, and so essentially that's kind of how your passion grows into rooting for a club, you know, and essentially you're rooting for a city, you're rooting for your hometown, something that makes you proud of. Which is essentially, you know, a lot of clubs have their own fan bases, but we'll always be the best.
If anyone is interested, Escuadrón is all welcoming.
We have, you know, people from all different cultures, all walks of life, and, you know, it doesn't matter where you're at, where you're from, what you do, you know, if you have the passion and, you know, you want to share it, we're always welcoming new people. So come on out.
You can catch El Escuadrón de Fresno at Valley FC games all season. Valley will play their home opener at Keith Tice Park on April 15th.
It's no secret that Fresno State fans love their sports. Weeks after the 2023 football season schedule was released, the Bulldogs are back and getting ready for another season. Robert Rivera talked to a player on the team and got some insight on recruiting, spring practices, and memories made playing for the Bulldogs.
In the heart of the Valley, Fresno State produced some of the biggest sports names right here in Fresno. Derek Carr, Devontae Adams, Paul George, Aaron Judge all began their careers under the Valley skies. It's no secret that Fresno State's biggest attraction is that 100-yard field surrounded by 40,000 seats, home of the Fresno State Bulldogs football team.
Touchdown, Nico Remigio! And from off the mat, the Bulldogs!
But what attracts these players to Fresno? I asked Sonny Exapera, a running back for Fresno State, about his experience to be recruited to play football for the biggest party in the Valley.
What I'll say that stood out to me was the community. You know, it felt like I wasn't being recruited as like a merchandise, you know, like I wasn't just an item or like a commodity. I was like an actual human. And like, it seemed like they really cared about my development and like my cultivation as a player. So that really stood out to me, and just the culture.
But a new season is upon us and spring practices up and running. Our Bulldogs are back on the field getting ready for another season of football. Sonny told me that the future is looking bright, with quarterback Mikey Keene, a transfer from University of Central Florida, and recently committed players are already bonding and building up team chemistry.
Yeah, Mikey Keene, he's from the same state I am. The new specialists, both the new quarterbacks, the new receivers, we really got some good guys.
The Dogs ended last season ranked number 24 with a record of 10-4, winning the Mountain West Championship and their bowl game. You can catch the Bulldogs next season at Valley Children's Stadium. I'm Robert Rivera with the Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
I can't wait for the season to start. The Bulldogs kick off their first away game against Purdue University on September 2nd.
The new semester brings a lot of stress to students. Luckily, there is an activity here on campus that can help, the Bulldog Bowl.
Jared Hickman talks with two students and a bowling professor about how the sport of bowling has helped students relieve the stress they have in school and work.
After a long, rough day of school, the bowling alley on Fresno State's campus, the Bulldog Bowl, is the perfect place to come relieve stress and anxiety.
I just get to exert most of my energy throughout the day into rolling the ball into some pins, and it gets rid of any stress that I have on my shoulders throughout the day.
Devin Leal is in the elementary bowling class here on campus. It is a fun class for students to take it easy and just simply bowl.
The pleasure that one receives from knocking things down at a distance really produces the endorphins that produces an overall sense of health and well-being.
Professor David Demanti helps teach students the fun sport of bowling through different drills and techniques so that they can have fun knocking down as many pins as possible. Students like Colton Gomes like to put their focus into knocking down the pins with the ball, as well as where your focus should be while bowling.
Because it's such an individualized sport, so it's mainly just you and the ball and the pins, and it just really helps stress you, unstress yourself, just because you're focused on you and you're focused on no one else, and you're just relieving stress by knocking pins over with the ball.
Whether you're dealing with overwhelming stress at home, school, or work, the Bulldog Bowl is the perfect place to come relax and bowl to your heart's content. It is open on the weekdays and is available for everyone. From Fresno State's campus, Jared Hickman, Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
The Bulldog Bowl is always a fun place to go and relax. I enjoy heading down there when I have free time. And that wraps up our show for the week. Next week on Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, we're rethinking manhood.
We'll also hear about a fun way to kick off the weekend with Friday night flights, wine tastings at the Gibson Farm Market.
Today's episode of Fresno State Focus Radio Edition was produced by Professor Faith Sedlow for the Department of Media Communications and Journalism. Our stories and interviews were produced and edited by Emma Ott, Sabrina Van Baber, Raul Ramirez, Robert Rivera, and Jared Hickman.
This program is produced in collaboration with 90.7 KFSR. With Walter Scott and Emma Ott, I'm Raul Ramirez. Have a great morning.
KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, Saturday mornings at 5. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.